How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 30 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. But it's not just me today. It's a dual episode. We're getting a little Bostonian. Joining me is Locked On Celtics host and MassLive.com Celtics beat writer Jay King. What's going on?
Not too much, man. Just got back from the beach. Got some rays today. Not much of a sunburn. I really applied that suntan lotion liberally. And hopefully we'll have a good podcast.
What shade do you use when you're putting on the sunscreen?
I'm an SPF 30 type of guy. Normally a little waterproof so that I can go in the ocean and then come out and still not be sunburned.
Ah, that's a good man. I'm super pale. I feel like I get burnt no matter what I put on. Like I am burnt. Always, it feels like. It's a terrible thing. Quickly before we get started, Locked On Thunder and Locked On Celtics are part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can head onto iTunes and search Locked On Thunder or Locked On Celtics to subscribe to the podcast there. You can also find us on Audio Boom or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can leave a review on iTunes if you're feeling like it too. And you can make sure to listen to the show on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Jay, you're Tuesdays and Thursdays also, right?
We are also Tuesdays and Thursdays. I'm not sure when we're going to go back to weekly, but it'll be pretty soon.
All right. Yeah. I'm planning on going back to weekly middle of September or so. And I'm curious to know, you're a Boston guy. Let's get a little Boston and Oklahoma here. What was the reaction inside the Celtics fan base when news broke of Russell Westbrook re-signing with the Thunder last week? Was there some amount of hope that he'd end up a Celtic in there just within the, not necessarily within the team, but the fan base itself?
I think there were probably some people who had hope, but it wasn't like this massive amount of hope. Like, people understood for the most part that in all likelihood he was going to go back to Oklahoma City, and they didn't really explore the trade possibilities. So I think most Celtics fans realized that was a long shot possibility from the beginning. And when he went back to Oklahoma City, it was kind of like somewhat expected, maybe not fully expected, but until, you know, he said, I'm not going to re-sign in Oklahoma City, I think fans were pretty much expecting him to return there.
Yeah, you know, the Celtics' history is – their recent history is interesting because people kind of assume that they're in play for all of these huge stars, and logically they are because they have lots of guys on good contracts and they have a lot of draft picks. But it's been a few years now of having all those Nets picks, and they have them through 2018. But they've drafted Jaylen Brown. They've drafted Marcus Smart now. Like, once these draft picks become players in some ways, especially if they don't really pan out, you know, in R.J. Hunter, that pick had more value before it turned into R.J. Hunter, you know? And so those picks now, all of a sudden, they lose a little bit more value. And it seems like with the Nets having those Nets picks through 2018 and Isaiah Thomas has two more years and Avery Bradley has two more years, it seems like, you know, they're not going to necessarily have the amount of assets in a year or two. It seems like a trade has to happen in the next year if they're going to make a trade for a star.
Yeah, they're definitely going to try to make a trade for a star, you know, this year, this trade deadline, next summer when the draft comes around, and they'll probably have a top five pick from Brooklyn. I would say there's kind of like a mini deadline for them that will either come next summer or the trade deadline after next summer, when they have to decide whether they will either go young with Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart and whoever the Nets picks are, the next Nets picks, or they'll decide, you know what, we can go after one of these superstars and really push our chips to the table and and do it that way, because it 2 years from now, Isaiah Thomas, Avery Bradley, and Marcus Smart will all be due for contract for much bigger contracts. Their contracts will all expire, and that's kind of like the line in the sand, I would say, when they have to decide one way or another.
Says the man on the beach.
Yeah, the line, exactly. The line in the sand, when they'll have to decide which way they'll go, one way or another. And I honestly, I don't know which way they'll go, because it's not often those real star players become available. And they've made it clear all they want are stars. They don't want mediocre guys. They don't want average players. They don't even want like small upgrades, because right now they have so many good players. They have, you know, they're 8-9 deep in their rotation, and they don't need good players anymore. They need great ones to take them to the next level. And Al Horford was one of those guys. They need more, though. They need that real superstar, that top 10 type of guy. And those don't come around very often. So I do think they'll have that line in the sand that they'll reach within maybe a year and a half, when they'll have to decide one way or another which direction they're going to go. But to date, Danny Ainge, his main thing is keeping flexibility so that he can have as many options as possible to take that next step, whether it's in the draft or free agency or by trades. And right now he's kept all those avenues open, and he's just waiting for the right opportunity.
You know, it's interesting. The Thunder and Celtics are kind of in similar positions. I mean, look, the Celtics, I think, are ahead of the Thunder if you're going to make the NBA power rankings and whatnot. But they're in somewhat similar positions. Like they both kind of still need that extra star. Obviously, the Thunder, we're in that predicament until this offseason. But they both have a lot of assets. I mean, for all the talk about how it's kind of Russell Westbrook by himself and that's it, I mean, I think people acknowledge that the Thunder are probably a playoff roster in the Western Conference this year. There's still a lot of talk of it's Russell Westbrook and everybody else. But there are real assets on this team. I mean, there's Adams and Cantor had a good year last year, and Robertson's good, and they have real guys. The Celtics are kind of a similar thing, where it's just kind of a bunch of good players, and they're going to try to compete against star-studded rosters with that. Obviously, Horford helps, though.
Yeah, and you know, the Thunder have Russell Westbrook, who the Celtics cannot contend with. None of the Celtics can contend with that. And then they have Steven Adams, who I think he's one of the best young big men in the league. I think he's fantastic. After that, you know, the Celtics just have a really deep roster of really good of good young players. They need that superstar, though, and maybe two of them even. And right now they don't have that guy who can take them into a playoff series against LeBron James or a guy like Russell Westbrook and bring them out victorious on the other side. So when playoff basketball hits, you know, you need those stars, and the Celtics just don't have those guys right now.
You've been watching Olympic hoops at all?
Absolutely, man. I watch way too much Olympic basketball.
Which team has surprised you the most so far?
I would say USA has surprised me the most, because I thought they would have a much easier time of it, to be honest.
Yeah, that's a good point. I was thinking the other direction, but yeah, I guess USA kind of has to. That defense, man, is just not good. Like it's
terrible, and they shouldn't be that bad. Like, they have Paul George, they have Kevin Durant, who is just a really good defender in the playoffs. They don't even play Draymond Green, which is weird to me. They don't play him very often at all. I would give him more minutes. I don't know. It's just a weird team right now. That I'm not really enjoying watching them play, because they don't give a damn about defense. It's bad.
I mean, here's the problem. I know this might be over. Sometimes I think the problems are more. People are delving in. What's the issue with Team USA? Sometimes I think we make things too complicated. Here's the issue with Team USA. Mike Krzyzewski is playing lineups with three below average defenders in them. That's the problem. When you have three below average defenders in the lineup, when you have Melo and DeMarcus Cousins and Kyrie in a lineup together, it's probably not going to be a really good lineup unless you put like Kawhi and Draymond Green in that lineup with them. And Kawhi didn't want to come, and he won't play Draymond Green at center for some reason, which I'm not quite sure why. I really do think it's that simple. I think you put your best defenders out there, you're probably going to play better defensively.
I would say that's probably true. See, I would put Draymond at five. I would play Paul George, Kevin Durant, Carmelo, and like Lowry, and just try to stop guys. Honestly, they haven't stopped anyone, and they can score. Honestly, they have ten of the most talented players in the entire tournament. For like other teams are pretty good. There's no like Spain used to be awesome. Argentina used to be awesome. There's no team like that anymore. If there were, I think this team would be in serious trouble. But honestly, I think they're going to survive, even though they're not at all a great team right now.
Yeah, me too. I think they'll be fine. But it's just been ugly with the games they're giving up. Like there are a lot of good teams. That's the thing. I agree with you that there isn't another team of like, you know, 2012 Spain's caliber or 2008 Spain's caliber. But I do think that there are more teams that are good. Like Serbia is good. And I think Croatia has talent. And Australia is good. And like those, they're better than they historically are, you know. And Spain is still good. And France is good. And there are good teams. Like Argentina is still capable. Brazil is capable. Like these are capable teams. I think that's something we haven't seen quite the depth of talent, you know, across all the countries in a long time, or maybe ever, honestly.
Yeah, no, you're probably right there. I love the way Australia plays, man.
Me too.
They just have a lot of tough guys. Actually, I was almost rooting for Australia against the United States. I know that's very unpatriotic of me, but I think I was rooting for Australia, man.
I just want to see good basketball. That's all I want to see. Australia plays good basketball.
And honestly, this Team USA hasn't played good basketball yet. Like they haven't shared the ball as well as they should. They haven't gotten great shots, and they haven't played defense against anyone. And the last three games have been almost embarrassing defensively. And they've squeaked out wins, but they shouldn't be squeaking out wins. This team is so much more talented than anyone. So,
I mean, look, they haven't made any adjustments.
I'm a little disappointed in Team USA.
Yeah, they haven't made any adjustments is the thing. I mean, like when they were getting killed on backdoor cuts against Australia, and they were getting killed on off-ball screens, and there were guys just kind of setting flare screens to open up shooters or setting screens to open up guys to cut to the basket for basket cuts. Like these are principles where their switches were just lazy. Like they were just lazy, and that's why guys were getting open for these cuts to the rim and open for all of these moves on these screens off the ball. And like if you have Draymond Green playing center there, those screens, those switches on those screens are going to be so much more seamless than when they're with DeMarcus Cousins. Like that kind of stuff. Like why there aren't just pure lineup adjustments? You don't even need schematic ones, but why there haven't been pure lineup adjustments? I don't know the answer. I mean, maybe there's a smart reason that I can't think of, but I don't really know the answer why there hasn't been lineup adjustments of that sense if you're going to play that defense, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And I know you didn't watch the Brazil-Argentina game.
No, I watched the second overtime, and that was it.
That was the game of the tournament so far. That was awesome. Campazzo just killing Brazil. And for some reason, Barbosa didn't play at all for, like, the whole second half. Hardly played at all. And then came back in the second overtime and scored like 9 straight points. That was just an awesome game, man. Just two teams just battling it out. And then Manu just snuck in for that offensive rebound to end it, which was perfect. Perfect Manu.
Leandro,
like he didn't have a good game at all, but he just made the winning play.
Leandro Barbosa is one of two NBA players whose name autocorrects to a petroleum company on my cell phone. He autocorrects to Barbasol on my phone, and Gasol autocorrects to gasoline. But I feel like that happens with everyone.
I think other people probably. I feel like I've probably typed in Barbosa enough that it now shows up on my phone.
Well,
so maybe you should type his name more often.
Well, okay, so maybe I know I talk about the NBA too much when I typed in the name Charles once and it autocorrected to Carlissimo. That's how I was like, oh, maybe I shouldn't talk about the NBA so much. All right, let's you want to play this game?
Yes. Let's get into our game.
All right, I'll give the intro then. All right, so we're gonna play a game that Jay and I like to call. We're calling it Real Tweet, Fake Tweet. This is really how you know this is a mid-August podcast, when we're playing Real Tweet, Fake Tweet and coming up with content. Basically, reporters have this way of spicing up relatively boring news when they're reporting. but they're using language and phrasing they would never really use in conversation. They're only using it in the tweet. And it looks good in articles, but it always makes me and Jay laugh when we see him in tweets. So for example, like so-and-so inks to a deal instead of signs one. Or our personal all-time favorite one, Kevin Durant has a courtesy of David Aldridge, who is literally a Hall of Famer and a phenomenal reporter and one of my personal idols and has the greatest tweet. Kevin Durant has concluded his meeting with the Miami Heat. He will meet with the Thunder in New York later today and then hunker down to decide. When in doubt, you got to hunker. So a whole bunch of our texting history, if you actually hack onto our phones or our iClouds, you'll find it's just us sending these tweets to each other. So today, Jay and I, we've prepared a few tweets, some real ones, others are fake that we came up with and we wrote on our own. We don't know which are real and which are fake. One's going to read, the other one's going to guess, can be from any sport. What are we playing for?
Oh, that,
do we have stakes?
That is a good question. Ooh.
Winner gets the other's podcast.
Dinner when I come to Oklahoma City this year.
Deal. Or when I come to Boston, whichever's first.
Yep, I'm in.
Okay, deal. Let's do it. All right, who's going first?
You can read first. I'll let you read first.
Okay, I will read first. Here is the tweet, real tweet, fake tweet. Toronto, Minnesota, Portland, San Antonio have all registered firm interest in Gasol, but the landscape might be easier to judge after KD lands.
That's real. And are we going with an extra point if we guess?
Yeah, extra point if you can guess it. Extra point if you can guess it.
Okay, so it was real, right?
Yeah, it's real. You're going to get this. You're going to get it.
It was real. Mark Stein?
Yeah, it's Mark Stein.
Yes. Yes.
Mark Stein
is the king of these. Yeah. He's the king.
Mark Stein has actually become my favorite person in NBA media. Like, I say it with no sarcasm or irony. He is registered firm interest is incredible. I love the idea of, like, GMs just filing papers to register their interest. And registering firm interest is, man, he's the GOAT at these. Like, he's the greatest.
Yeah. He is an absolute legend of the game. All right. My turn.
All right. You're up 2-0 now. Oh, this is a big hole.
Yeah, that's a nice little start for me. These convos aren't sourced enough for me to report as fact, but I've heard enough to believe the wind is blowing LeBron James back home.
Oh.
We'll see.
Okay. I'm going to say it's fake.
Oh, it's real.
That's real?
And it is Chris Broussard from 2014 when LeBron was deciding between the Cavs and the Heat. That was real.
That's a good
one.
That
was Chris Broussard.
That's such a good
one. The wind was blowing. LeBron James back home.
That is such a good one.
Yeah. That was a Hall of Famer. I thought you'd know because I tipped my cap. I was going to go back to the well to unleash some Hall of Fame tweets.
Oh,
that
man.
Was a Hall of Famer there.
That is such a great one. I didn't know that one.
Yeah. The wind was blowing. LeBron James back home.
That's so great. All right. The Thunder have rescinded their qualifying offer to Deion Waiters after signing Alex Abrines. More likely than not, the team will quash its relationship with its former sixth man.
Ooh, fake. You made that shit up.
I did. You also just cursed, and now I have to bleep this.
No, you don't have to bleep that.
Oh, I don't have to bleep?
No bleeps.
No bleeps. All right, we're going raw. We're going raw. I made that up. Man, 3-0 right now.
I knew that. I mean, once you brought in Alex Abrines, come on, man.
Well, I figured it was possible that I could have tweeted that. So
only a Thunder guy would bring in Alex Abrines.
One of these days, one of us is going to report news in this fashion, and the other one of us is going to be so excited.
Yeah. All right, my turn. Vet big man Drew Gooden is bound for the open market, league sources say, with a cap crunch forcing the Wiz to relinquish his 2016-2017 option.
That's, huh. That's I'm going to say that's fake.
It was real.
No, no.
It was real.
You know what?
And it was Mark Stein. It was the greatest of all time, Mark Stein.
Oh,
he does
my
it again.
Gosh. I'm getting killed right now. This is a poor performance.
He does it again.
Yeah. Mark Stein. We should – oh, man, this is great.
He's bound for the open market with the cap crunch forcing the Wiz to relinquish
that's
his 2016-2017 option. Just relinquished it.
All right. I think I'm going to win this point. I think you're not going to win this point. What is it, 3-0 right now? It's 3-0?
Yeah, I've got a 3-0 lead after two rounds.
All right.
No big deal.
Charlotte has nabbed former Dallas center Brendan Haywood off the waiver wire after he was amnestied, source confirms.
He went years back for this. I'm going to say that's real. That is real.
That is Sam Amick from July 14th, 2012. Oh,
you didn't even let me guess. You didn't even let me guess.
Oh, no, I forgot. Oh, damn.
No, I wasn't going to guess anyway.
You were
Amick. But I got the one point.
Okay, yeah, you get the one. Sorry. I'm rigging it. I'm rigging it. Sorry. Yeah, it's from July 14th, 2012. That's Sam. I loved Nabbed. Nabbed was so good.
Yeah, that's a good one. All right. What is this? Second half of the round three?
Yes.
After weeks of silence, hearing Celtics Zeller have reestablished communication and could be crawling toward a new deal.
Huh. Crawling toward new deal is good. I'm guessing for the third straight time, I'm guessing fake.
Yeah, that was fake.
Yeah.
I made that one up.
I figured you went going with Celtics. I figured.
Yeah, just like you went with Abrines, I went with Zeller. I shouldn't have let that tell go.
Yeah.
No, that was a tough tell.
Yeah. All right. We got a baseball one here. Heard Shy Sox and Red Sox recently talked on sale. Scuttlebutt is CWS seek at least four guys from Boston, including three of best.
I think I actually saw this one. I think it's real. And who was it? It was real, right?
It's real, yeah.
And it was Rosenthal.
It was John Heyman.
Oh no. That was the other one I was contemplating.
Phenomenal use of Scuttlebutt.
Yeah, whenever you can use Scuttlebutt in a tweet, it's big time.
But that is like perfect use of Scuttlebutt. Like if you're going to use Scuttlebutt, that's the time.
Yeah. All right. Brandon Bass has committed to Clips for minimum per sources despite smothering lack of flexibility. Doc Rivers has emerged again with a bench upgrade.
That sounds like more than 140 characters.
Actually, it's not.
Huh. Okay. Huh. Let's see. Smothering. Wow, that's aggressive. Man, he smothered the roster. Who would... That's fake. Smothering isn't... It wouldn't be used. I'm gonna say fake.
Oh yeah, it was fake.
Yeah, there you go.
It was fake.
All right, so we got two. I wanna guess right on a real one, so I can try to guess the reporter. All right, next one. Ortiz was as hot as I've ever seen him post game after his ejection for arguing a strike three call.
That's it?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's got to be real.
That's fake.
you didn't even try. Huh?
is hot not a weird one?
I mean, that is as weak as it gets. You went so far real that it was fake. That's
sorry. Oh, I thought hot was a weird one. I thought hot was a weird one. Apparently not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's really defeating the purpose of the game, huh? So
that's tough.
Whatever, I'll take the points however I can get them.
All right, we've got another one.
What is the score?
What's
right
the
now?
Score right now? Yeah. I think. what do I? It's like 4-2. I have four. I think.
Okay, and I have two. Yeah.
Yeah. in stunning about face, some genuine saltiness between Wade Heat. Hard to believe there won't be a resolution, but some fence mending will be needed.
That's real.
Who is it?
Oh my gosh. Oh. I think I might have seen this one. It's not Ethan Skull. I'm going to say it's Ira Winderman.
It was Aldridge mixed with Stein. I put together two tweets. I would have given you full credit for either one. I mixed together the stunning about face from one of Stein's tweets about George Karl back in the day when he was almost fired by the Kings. And then I threw in Aldridge's takes on the Heat. Yeah.
Wait, does that count or does that not count then?
No, I mean, you went with Skolnick. It counts for one.
Oh, no. I mean, does that count as fake or real?
That was definitely real.
Okay. So we got 4-3. This is the last one that I have.
Okay.
Is that right? Is that what you have?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. So last one I have. Look for the Philadelphia 76ers to sign Robert Covington this week. Hearing Sixers are poised to pluck Covington out of the NBA D League.
This was so long ago. If it was true, I feel like you couldn't possibly make up a Robert Covington tweet. I'm gonna go with this one is real. One is real.
Bobby Coves, it's real.
And also poised to pluck. Who would go with point? This has to be Stein. It has to be Stein.
It's Stein. It's Stein.
I knew it. Only Stein could possibly.
I'll tell you how I even found it. I actually just searched
Stein and Pluck.
I was like, I bet you Mark Stein has used Pluck in a funny way before. And I just searched Stein's Twitter handle and Pluck, and this tweet came up. And I was like, this is incredible. I poised to Pluck is just superb.
It's special.
It's got that like Wojian illiterate, you know, that illiterate thing, and it's just nice.
Yeah,
it's nicely done.
That is very special. All right, last one here.
So what I think you've clinched. I owe you a dinner.
Oh, I'm up 6-3. However, you have a chance to make it semi-respectable.
Yes.
Skeptics said neither Kevin Durant nor Dwayne Wade would be able to bear walking away at the moment of truth. And they both did. Hashtag this league.
Oh, hashtag this league.
Hashtag this league. They would not be able to bear walking away at the moment of truth. And they both did. Hashtag this league.
I might say it's real.
I mean, yeah. There was no doubt that was real. Yeah,
that's real. Okay. And I'm going to guess it is. Sounds like Broussard.
That was Stein. You should have known Stein when you saw Stein.
Stein is a Hall of Famer, man.
He threw in a curveball there with the hashtag, though. He doesn't often go with the hashtag.
He doesn't. I mean, I guess Broussard doesn't go hashtags either, but the hashtag threw me off. I was trying to think.
Yeah. But walking away at the moment of truth, that was clearly a Steinism.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Stein is amazing at this.
He's just as good as it gets.
He's just the greatest. He's just the best writer, is what it is. He's such a good writer.
Yeah.
He actually there's some people you hear them talk and you're like, oh my God. He talks the same way he writes. It's like jarring, you know? And like Stein has that, like when you hear like Arnovitz talk, you're like, oh man, Kevin Arnovitz talks the way like I aspire to write, you know?
Yeah.
And you see Mark Stein tweet and you're like, yeah, that's how Stein tweets. Yeah. Stein's tweeting as Arnovitz is talking. That's just how I want to write.
Just guys get plucked out of the D League.
No, guys are poised to be plucked.
Poised to be plucked. Even better. Alliteration in there, too.
Oh man, Stein he's the greatest, man. I don't even want people to think that we're like saying this in an ironic way. He's like actually the greatest. It's just hilarious how good he is at what he does and how he makes all of these tweets. Like, he makes the most boring Robert Covington D-League signing so entertaining.
I went back to 2012 in his Twitter feed, and I was so entertained at every trade deadline and free agency tweet that he made. It's just unreal.
It's great, man. He's the best. I think is that everything? I owe you.
That's
a dinner.
It. That's all we got,
man. Now. I owe you a dinner.
Yeah, you owe me dinner.
Oh, no, I owe you dinner. Get embarrassed in front of the entire Locked On Network.
No big deal.
So let's. Let's awkwardly end this. Anything you want to tell the listeners before we go?
I got nothing to tell the listeners. I've been on vacation for like 2 weeks, man. I've just been getting some rays and podcasting every once in a while.
Sounds wonderful. So, as always, I'm running Tuesdays and Thursdays till about mid-September when I jump back to the daily format. If you're subscribed to the show, you'll be all good on getting those. Jay, anything to plug? Twitter handle? Anything like that? What do you buy, Jay?
Twitter
King?
Handle? At buy Jay King. You should know that, Fred. That's embarrassing that you don't. yeah, that's it. I write for Mass Live, and yeah, I got nothing else to plug. I'm not much of a self-promotion type of guy.
Come on, Jay. I blocked you years ago.
I'm more of a quote Mark Stein's tweets type of guy.
Yeah. You promote other people's tweets, not your
own.
Yeah,
exactly.
Remember, you can head on to iTunes, subscribe to either show, Locked On Thunder, Locked On Celtics there. If you have any questions or comments for me about Locked On Thunder, you can email lockedonthunder@gmail.com. You can also find me on Twitter @FredKatz, FREDKATZ. Log on to normantranscript.com for all your Thunder needs and check out my blog, Thunder Road, because I do self-promote. And you can follow team coverage and what's next for the Thunder there. That's it for today. Back with you for another podcast on Thursday. Jay is back. Jay, you're back Thursday also?
Indeed, indeed.
So until next time, this joint venture of Locked On Thunder and Locked On Celtics is locking up.